Once again, I'm so glad that you are here this morning with us. We're excited to have you with us. I'm glad to be back. Last week, I was on vacation for the week, went up to Northern Iowa, to my hometown, and had the opportunity to officiate over my sister and her husband's wedding. And so that was last Saturday. My wife and I and two daughters took a little bit of time for ourselves and went on a short vacation just to kind of get away and refresh and renew ourselves. Everyone keeps asking, Pastor, how was your vacation? I keep saying, it was too short. It needs to be longer. But vacations are never long enough, it seems like. But so we're back here this morning. Glad to be back with you. And thank you once again to Mark and to Howard for covering last week. I really appreciate that. This morning, though, I'd like us to, if you would, please take your Bible and join me in the book of Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We're going to look briefly this morning at the first seven verses. And the little paraphrase in my Bible over this passage says, submit to government. I'm not going to talk about government this morning. I've already heard enough about politics and the news and everything else lately. But we do want to talk and pull something out of this passage that's important for us to understand this morning as we live our lives as Christians and live our lives here in the church at Fairhaven Baptist Church and live our lives outside these walls in our community. Does anyone know what happens today at noon? You're all from Kansas City, and you have no idea what happens today at noon. Chiefs kickoff. Chiefs cook-off. And if you were to go home this afternoon and you were to turn your television on, and you were to turn it to the Chiefs game on television, you will see a whole bunch of red and yellow. I thought about wearing red and yellow. I got kind of close with the yellow, but I didn't have a red shirt to wear. Get me a red tux or something like that next time, maybe. But this Chiefs kickoff game today, and they are going to play today at noon. And as you were to watch and scan the stands of the stadium, you will see lots and lots of red and yellow. And the reason that you will see lots of red and yellow is because the fans of the Chiefs love their team. If you were to watch a Chicago Cubs game, you're going to see a lot of blue and red. If you were to watch a Steelers game, you'd see a lot of black and gold. Yesterday, up in Iowa, the big football, college football game of the year took place. Iowa State versus Iowa University. Red and gold and black and gold. And that was a big game yesterday. My team lost, but it was a big game yesterday. And boy, you know, and it's really funny up in Iowa because it's kind of I don't see it as much down here in Kansas, but I guess the closest you could get is the border wars between KU and Mizzou. But up there, it's Iowa State and Iowa. And up there, they are houses divided in some of those houses. They have kids that went to Iowa State, and some kids went to Iowa, or one spouse went to Iowa, and one spouse went to Iowa State. Man, it's crazy when this game comes along each year. But the reason that you will see on television this afternoon the red and the yellow is because those people love their team. And they will do everything they can do to support their team. And they want to honor their team by being there, by being able to watch the game, by being able to be there in the experience and support the team that they're rooting for. This morning, the title of my message is entitled, Honoring the Honorable. You see, those Chiefs fans are there to honor their team. They want to be there to support their team. And although their team may not be the greatest in the NFL, they're going to be there and root for them as much as they can. This morning, as we come to God's Word, I want us to understand that we are told in God's Word to honor individuals and to honor the Lord. If I were to go to court, I would have to go before a judge. And oftentimes the judge goes by the name of Your Honor. And the reason that they have that name is not because they are demanding it, but because they are in a position that they hold that they are respected in such a term. And the word honorable means to address or to give lots of esteem to, lots of respect to. This morning, I want to give you some individuals and some people that we are called to honor, to show respect to. In fact, the word honor kind of also has the idea here in this passage as we're looking at in Romans chapter 13, to pay a tribute to. Are you in Romans 13 this morning? Let's read along together. You and your copy of God's Word, I'll read it out loud. Romans chapter 13, just the first seven verses. Verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just ask that you'd give us understanding this morning as we look at your word and try to apply it to our lives. Lord, we understand that this message kind of hits us hard right now because of the political season, Lord, as we're looking forward to a new election in November, Lord, and all the things that entail with that, the political ads and the mailings and the phone calls and everything, Father, and we get bogged down by that sometimes, Father, but we understand that those that you place in authority over us are there because of a certain reason, and you've placed them there on purpose. So, Father, give us understanding this morning, Lord, that shows us and teaches us that we need to honor those who are honorable. In Jesus' name, amen. Obviously, the passage we just read is talking about government. We kind of started off a few minutes ago by saying that. But even more so, what I really want us to focus this morning on is verse 7. And verse 7 again says, render, or give. Give over to, as you could say. Give over, therefore, to all their due. Give to whomever it is, whatever that they are expecting from you and are requiring from you. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. We live in a world where we have to pay taxes. Not a choice. Someone once said there are only two things you have to do in life: die and pay taxes. And that's the first thing we are told to do here, and we are required to do, is to pay taxes. I don't think we need to have a message on making sure you pay your taxes each year. That's kind of just a given. But it goes on there and talks about customs to whom customs. When in other countries and other places, other regions, you would try to fit in. You would try to do what other customs do. There was a big thing, I can't remember which president it was, but a number of years ago he went to Australia and gave a peace symbol and in fact gave them a very bad terminology, a very bad sign, which they took and were offended by. You, when in Rome, you do as the Romans do, was the idea there. So Paul here is saying that if you were somewhere else in another culture, in another area, you would try to do the things that they do to respect their customs and do what they are doing. I believe it's like in Southern Asia. I can't remember which country it is. But there in that nation, as they eat their food, they slurp. And not to slurp offends the person who's fixed the food. So here in America, we don't slurp our food. We don't, you know, we try to be very quiet while we eat. In some nations and some cultures, it's very nice at the end of your meal to belch really loud. Here in America, we don't do that. We think that's just offensive. But over there, they're like, well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the meal, you know. And it's different customs have different customs. And when in different areas, you try to uphold them. Verse 7 goes on to say, fear to whom fear. I don't really appreciate being pulled over by police officers, but I will obey what they tell me to do. For several reasons. Number one, because that ticket I just got could go up in numbers if I wasn't nice. But they also have the ability to do other things that, you know, resisting or not being workable and so forth. So I show an officer a sense of respect, a sense of fear. When I was in school, you showed your teacher fear, knowing that your teacher could send you to the principal, and you showed your principal fear. You, in today's world, show your accountant fear. You want them to help you out. You want them to be nice to you. If you're smart, when you go to a restaurant and you have a waiter or a waitress come and help you, you will be respectful to them and show them fear, because you don't know what they're doing to your food back in the kitchen. You know? You have a respect for other individuals, and that's what we're being told here to do, is fear to whom fear is due. But lastly here, the last few words of verse 7 is where I want us to park this morning and concentrate upon. honor to whom honor. It is my personal belief that it is very important to give honor to where honor is due. To not do so, in a sense, almost hurts a person. And this morning, I want us to talk about that a little bit. Obviously, first and foremost, the one who is worthy of all glory and honor is our Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 4 and in Revelation chapter 5, we read where the different people are bowing down and worshiping God. Let me read for you Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Down in Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, we have the angels and the living creatures saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Let me tell you why the Lord God deserves all the glory and the honor. First and foremost, it's because He paid the highest price for our salvation. He laid down His life so that we might have life. He laid down His life and allowed His blood to redeem us and save us from our sins if we are willing to ask Him for that forgiveness. No one else could forgive sins. No, nothing else could be brought along that could forgive us of those sins. Only Christ and Christ alone. And because of that, He and He alone is worthy of all honor. And those who are truly those who are truly saved understand the value of that. They realize the fact that they could not go to heaven were it not for Jesus Christ's death upon the cross of Calvary. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that Christ came and took on human flesh, and he came to serve, not to be served. He came and his own did not receive him. He came and he died upon an obedient death upon the cross of Calvary, and because of that, his heavenly Father exalted him. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, God gets the glory through everything, even in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. God gets the glory for everything. The cost of our salvation reminds us why we ought to praise and glorify God and give Him the glory in everything. There's a second group this morning that really deserves to be honored, and that we kind of do once a year on separate days, actually. We have a Mother's Day and a Father's Day. Another group of individuals that are to be honored are parents. Being a parent now for 4 years, today is my oldest daughter's fourth birthday. Good night. I'm getting old. But time is flying by. But today is her fourth birthday. And so being a parent for the last 4 years, I have learned that parenting is not as easy as I thought it was. You know, it's always fun to watch people who have never had kids write books on parenting. You know, it just doesn't work very well. And so parents are to be honored. In fact, one of the Ten Commandments that we have for us recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, reminds kids that they are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we have it again in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, the same reminder. It's a verse given to kids, not to adults to their parents, but children to their parents. And we are reminded that children are to give honor. They're to give value, to give dignity, to give high esteem to their parents. And God promises then to bless that person for being obedient to their parents in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Do you remember what that promise is? Long life. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For this is the first commandment with promise, that your days may be long upon the earth." I think, interestingly enough, we're going to see a difference in generations in the near future. Generations in the near past have lived to be 105 years old, it seems like, some of them. And I believe truly that's not because they're just in good health. I believe part of it is the fact because they obeyed their parents. But if you watch the generations coming up, we're in a scary situation. We see a lot of kids not being obedient to their parents, rebelling on their parents, and so forth. So it's a promise there in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Take your Bibles, keep your finger here in Revelation or Romans chapter 13, and go back with me to Nehemiah chapter 3. Because there's another group here that we are called to honor. And I'm going to kind of expand it a little bit this morning. And you'll understand here in a moment why I'm doing that. Nehemiah chapter 3. And I'm not going to read the whole passage. I just want to give you a brief idea of what I want to talk about this morning. In Nehemiah chapter 1, we have Nehemiah, the cupbearer of the king, being told that his hometown, Jerusalem, which had been ransacked, was just in shambles. The walls had been torn down. The gates had been burned. There was really literally nothing left of the city but a bunch of rubble. And Nehemiah, then drinking the king's cup, to make sure it's not poisoned, is before the king, and he's got a sad countenance, a sad face. He doesn't look happy, which is almost a death sentence in a way, because Nehemiah would have been fearing the king. The king has the power of life and death over Nehemiah. So Nehemiah, there before the king, had a sad face on. And when you're sad, kind of makes the king sad. And nobody wants the king to be sad. You know the saying, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy? Same thing with the king. When the king's not happy, nobody's happy. So we have Nehemiah before the king, and the king asks Nehemiah, what's wrong? And Nehemiah tells the king, my hometown's been burned. It's in shambles. It's a wreck. And the king gives Nehemiah permission to go back and rebuild the city walls of Jerusalem. And in chapter 3, then, of Nehemiah, we have this passage of all these different people who were a part of the building of the walls of Jerusalem. Verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built a sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it, then as far as the Tower of Hananel. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built, and next to them Zakur, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Hasanah built a fish gate. They laid its beams and hung its doors with its bolts and bars. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz, made repairs. Next to them, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs. Next to them, Zadok, the son of Banab, made repairs. Next to them, 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 all the way down through chapter 3. Pastor, why in the world did God let Nehemiah write this passage, this chapter, and put it in the book of Nehemiah? Who cares who built the walls? Who cares who built the gates? Who cares who carved the walls and carved the gates? Who cares who made the bolts and put the bolts in the doors? Who gives a care? Obviously, God does. God allowed it to be put there. And thousands of years later, here in the year 2012, we are reading about these individuals who helped build the walls of Jerusalem. What's interesting, in my opinion, is the fact that when God allowed Nehemiah to record these names and place them in his word, God allowed them to remain there as a way of honoring them. They were not just put there to be put there, but they are there so that years later, centuries later, in fact, we might be able to honor these individuals who were so vital and important and had played an important part of rebuilding the walls. All the way down through the passage, down in verse 31, you read about goldsmiths. You read about merchants. You read about merchants and goldsmiths coming along and building parts of the walls along with them. We see the priests are involved. We see all these different people involved in building the walls of Jerusalem. You know, just as the city walls of Jerusalem are built, so also is the church. There are individuals in our church this morning who need to be honored. There are individuals who need to be respected for what they do. We need to hold these individuals up in high esteem. I am not here to toot my own horn or anything like that, but oftentimes, usually, when we think about a church, the first thing that comes to most people's mind is the pastor, which puts a whole load on the pastor's shoulders, because if the people of the community think the church is like the pastor, you guys got a big problem. But that's what oftentimes is thought of. But you know, there's so much more to a church than just the pastor. This morning, sitting in this room, we have four deacons. Deacons, would you stand up for a minute? Yep, stand up. We have four men of God that the church... There's one in the sound booth. We have four men of God that God has seen fit to help lead our church in the direction that needs to go. We honor these four men. Thank you, men. You may sit down. Bob, stand up. We have a church treasurer who takes care of the bills. I'm so glad that I don't have to do that. We'd be in so much debt, it wouldn't be funny. But he has upon his shoulders the aches when he sees the church starting to struggle financially. He has to move money and maneuver it around so that we make sure that our bills are paid and our different utilities are taken care of, all the vacation Bible school materials covered, and everything else is paid for. Thank you, Bob. Jim, stand back up. We have a church janitor who faithfully cleans the church each week. Hopefully when you came in this morning, you didn't have to pick up any trash off the ground. The toilet paper was in the toilet paper holders in the bathrooms. He's a good guy. He makes coffee and cookies too. He does a great job. Thank you, Jim. It always changes, so I never forget. I always forget. Sunday school teacher, stand up. We have Sunday school teachers who teach during our Sunday school hour, our adults and our kids, teaching our kids primarily about the truths of God's word, sharing with them the truth of salvation, how God loves us and cares for us. The adults kind of go a little further and really dig deep into doctrine, sharing things about who Christ is and how we ought to be living for his glory. Go ahead and sit down, gentlemen. Thank you. And ladies, thank you. I'm going to have Sharon and Joanne stand up. My wife is upstairs, the children's church workers, who diligently each week take turns to serve the kids in our children's church while we're down here. I appreciate their willingness to do that, and I appreciate your time that you put into it. Thank you so much. You can sit down. We have a variety of ladies that serve in our nursery. Nursery workers, stand up. Honoring those who are due honor. Gloria's not standing. But these ladies serve in our nursery as they're at scheduled times, helping take care of the little kids in our church so that we can be able to focus on God's word down here. Parents don't have to try and contend with their kids throughout the service, but they can go up to the nursery and play and have a good time. Ron, stand up. Ron takes care of our church lawn, mowing and weed eating and taking care of the weeds and so forth. Appreciate his time. It's interesting, on the hottest days of the summer, he's out there in a long sleeve shirt mowing that yard. And he does a great job, and I really appreciate that. From here on, I won't have you stand up, but these are all kind of general because we have such a wide variety of people working in these. But, this one I will. If you worked on the Vacation Bible School, stand up. Our Vacation Bible School this year, the first week of August, was one of the best weeks we've had in the 7 years that I've been here. We had 52 kids on Wednesday night, ministered to about 65. Vacation Bible School could not happen without helpers, so thank you so much. We have ladies that work in the kitchen during potluck times and different meals that we have. We have decorators who take care of the flowers in the sanctuary and throughout the building. We have ladies who take care of the flowers outside. We have we had our Vacation Bible School decorating party where folks that weren't even part of Vacation Bible School came and helped color and paste and cut things out. I really appreciate you taking the time to do that. Next month, we have Trunk or Treat. Already many of you are starting to think, how am I going to decorate my car for that? Those of you who have served in years past in our Trunk or Treat, I appreciate that. We have our Pine Car Derby coming up in just another week. We always enjoy that. There's been individuals who have given money towards that and effort towards that and have bought prizes and so forth towards that. I really appreciate that. We have our free garage sale that we just had last year. We'll probably do it again next year, where people donate items. You folks didn't have to bring things, but you chose to. You are a part of a special ministry here at Fairhaven. There are those of you who have given time to various things here at the church. Many of you have given financially in the offerings towards various things at the church, not just in programs, but also to keep the lights on and keep the air conditioning on and the heating on and so forth. We appreciate that. There are those that I can look forward to each week folding my bulletin for me each Sunday morning, so I don't have to do it. But there are folks that take that and do that for me. We have ushers who help take the offering. There are people who help after potlucks and after meals up in the fellowship hall take down all the tables and chairs. Thank you for not leaving that for pastor to do. I appreciate you helping. There are those who are eager and out telling other people, inviting other people to come to church. You are witnesses. Thank you for doing that. We have folks who come and take time out of their busy schedule to pull weeds out of the bushes over here alongside the church building. I appreciate that. There are people who are greeters. Both of them are gone today, but normally there's someone at the door to shake your hand, to hand you a bulletin, to say good morning, welcome. We have folks that serve in the sound booth My voice is kind of loud, but sometimes you might have a speaker or something like that come up and you can't hear them very well without sound. We have them working in the sound booth. We have a pianist who plays piano for us, whether he thinks he can play very well or not. We appreciate that. And it's so much easier for me to sing along with a piano than try to sing along just by myself. We have scripture readers. Usually each week we have an individual come and read scripture for us as we begin our service. We have folks who sing special music in our services. We have folks who read special readings throughout our services. We have so many people involved in so many different areas of our church, and you all need to be honored. That's probably one of the things that I don't do very good, is honor people, to say thank you. Because truly, you folks are the ones who make up this church. And it's fun to watch new folks come into our church and get involved. The weed puller wasn't here 4 months ago. 4 months, about that? Or so, maybe a little longer. You know, we have different people who have come alongside our church and been part of our church and joined our church and gotten involved with different things. We have people outside of our church who come and help do things that, Sharon Baldwin's sister Emmy comes and helps us snacks during vacation Bible school. You know, we have just a wide variety of people who come and help. There's someone else, though, that we're called to honor this morning, and that's a person above reproach. A person above reproach. Proverbs 21:21, 2 Timothy 2:19-22, Romans 2:7-11, and 1 Thessalonians 4:4 all remind us that a person who lives above reproach ought to be glorified. Proverbs chapter 31 talks about the woman of great value. She is to be honored. 1 Peter 3:7 tells us that husbands are to give honor to their wives. Ephesians 5:33 reminds us that wives are to be reverent to their husbands. Finally, any honor we understand that we receive, whether it's just by asking you to stand up or by a thank you card or by a gift or whatever, any honor that we get from anything else ought to go back first and foremost to the Lord. I knew this young girl in college. She'd sing special music, and she had a beautiful voice. And she'd sing in the church that I was going to while I was in college. And people afterwards would go up to her and say, "Sarah, that was a beautiful song." And normally you'd hear the person that sang the song say, "Well, thank you." She never said that. She always said, "Well, I give God the glory." Or "Praise the Lord." I always thought that was really neat, because most oftentimes when you see a rock star or a country music singer or something like that get up in front of thousands of people, they take all the glory for themselves. But here she was willing to give God the glory. When we worship God in spirit and in truth, we honor Him. We give God the glory. When we serve Him with gladness faithfully, we honor Him. When we pay the price of living holy lives, we honor Him. When we determine to witness to the world and serve the world, we honor Him. Notice, though, that we dishonor Him when we do not place a high value on living our lives for His honor. When we take our attention off of God and place it upon ourselves, we're not honoring Him. We're honoring ourselves. When a Christian begins to take their attention off of God and begins to put it upon themselves, God is dishonored. When a Christian gets into sin and doesn't repent of it, God is dishonored. When a Christian is not faithful to the things of God, God is dishonored. When God is dishonored, it simply means that we place a lower or low value on Him, and we show it by our attitude and by our actions. Remember 2 weeks ago when I upset some of you when we talked about worship? When we don't show God that we love Him and worship Him and want to glorify Him, we dishonor Him. We honor God by paying the price of living honorable lives for His glory. Give honor to whom honor is due. Don't take it for yourself, but give it to God. In closing, I was able to a few years ago go to a reception on a Sunday afternoon for a pastor who had been pastoring for 40 years, the same church. His father started the church, and he took on the church and pastored there for 40 years. And they were giving him a reception, a retirement reception, to kind of not kick him out the door, but to see him go. So they had him and his wife sitting down front, and they had different people coming up and saying things about them. And I know Pastor Glover is a wonderful man, and as all these different people were coming up and saying things about him, I knew he was sitting there saying, "I don't want to be here. I don't want to be sitting up here. Because what he was thinking in his mind was the fact that what he had done for 40 years was not about him. It was about what he had done for God. And how God ought to be getting the glory for that, not him, he himself or his wife. When we love God and worship him and live for him faithfully, he is honored. Honoring the honorable. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time we've been in your word this morning, Lord. I know we have kind of a different, unique service this morning with so many folks gone and different things taking place this morning, Father. But we just are grateful for the opportunity that you've given to us this morning to give honor to where honor's due. Lord, I know many of the folks that we even talked about this morning were not able to be here this morning, Lord. And we're so thankful for their ministry here at Fairhaven, Lord, and their diligent parts and doing so many different things here, Lord, as well. But, Lord, truly, without these folks, this church couldn't exist. Lord, without us reaching out into our community, we couldn't show our community how much we love them and care about them, just the way that you love them and care about them as well. And, Father, we ask that we would live honorable lives so that you might be honored. Just as your Son Christ came and died and lived that perfect life and died upon the cross of Calvary in obedience to you, Father, may we also, in obedience to you, live our lives for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.